Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
A great music teacher not only gives lessons in the art of musical interpretation, a great music teacher gives lessons in the art of life. Today, an outstanding teenage flutist tells the story of a teacher who's like a second mother to her. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at Hosmer Concert Hall at the Crane School of Music at SUNY Potsdam, where we'll also hear a 10-year-old pianist from Washington, D.C. perform the music of Aaron Copland. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks and welcome. Thank you and welcome, everybody. A special thanks to the Community Performance Series here at SUNY Potsdam for bringing us to this university town way up in the northernmost reaches of New York State, not far from the St. Lawrence River. The Crane School of Music here at the university is celebrating its 125th anniversary. When this place was founded, it was one of the first music schools in the country to have programs dedicated to training music teachers for public schools. And in that spirit, later on in the show, we'll be hearing from an award-winning high school teacher who just happens to run the band program here in town, a teacher adored by 25 years' worth of students. But the Crane School has also been a place for great performance training. The vocal program in particular is legendary, with graduates like the Met tenor Dimitri Pitas, the Broadway diva Lisa Vroman, and the great soprano Renee Fleming. And our first young performer is someone else who sings, but through his cello. Please welcome, from Basking Ridge, New Jersey, 17-year-old cellist John Lee. John, welcome. Tell everyone what you and I are going to play together.
We're going to be playing Dance of the Green Devil by Gaspar Cassetto.
When you are set, we will take it from the top. Thank you. John Lee, 17 years old from Basking Ridge, New Jersey, performing Dance of the Green Devil by Gaspar Cassadó. Well, John, I'm pleased to say you were the first person to play this wonderful piece on our program.
Thank you.
Gaspar Cassadó is not a terribly well-known cellist, but my favorite in the Ravel trio with Yehudi Menuhin and Louis Kentner. And my gosh, you brought such virtuosity and such a singing quality to this piece. Very idiosyncratic, too. Mm-hmm. Really loved playing that with you.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, performers talk about making their instruments sing, but you actually hear a kind of disembodied voice when you play?
Mm-hmm. So often when I practice, my mom would help me kind of practice a little bit, and she would sing with me sometimes, and sometimes she would be up in the kitchen cooking up something, and I would hear this kind of voice, and I would ask her, oh, are you singing or are you like doing something like sing or whatever? And she would be like, no, I was up in the kitchen cooking up your food.
But you heard a voice.
Yes. And she thought this was really weird. She's like, don't tell anyone.
Yeah. But I like this idea of the voice. I mean, is it a matter of reaching a certain level of expressivity, or do you think it's a sympathetic vibration with this particular cello? Or do you have any idea where it might come from?
I can't find any reason behind it, but it's been with me since I've been playing cello, so I guess it's a good thing.
It's a wonderful thing, I think. If I'm working and I'm in the zone at the piano, I see a woman's face, and it's nobody that I know. It's somebody that I've made up, just kind of. But it's, you know, just always somebody different. Anyway. It's not so weird that you're hearing a voice when you play, though, John. You've got really sensitive hearing. Talk about that.
Ever since I was young, my ears would go crazy, and when I'm in the church, when the organ plays, the organ would blast into my ears, and I would start crying, and when there's an electric mosquito repellent outside, one of the big ones, then I would start hearing, and I would complain that my ears started hurting, and stuff like those kind of bothered me, but I think the good hearing really helps me when I'm playing.
Or like you're out in the country and you're hearing city noises from how far away, would you say?
10 miles, maybe, around there.
But you really, we're hearing, you know, hey, buddy, get out of the way. Tell the story of the chestnuts.
Okay, so near my school, there's a chestnut tree, and my mom is obsessed with gardening and that sort of stuff, so she decided to pick one of those spiking little green things, and she brought it home and put it on a platter. And one night, I was upstairs studying for my test the next day, and I heard this kind of crackling noise, and I figured, well, I have no clue what it is. Maybe I should go check it out. So I go downstairs, and I start searching for the sound. I wander around, where's that sound coming from? And I finally locate the sound. It's what is the chestnuts. And I walk up to it, and I put my eyes closely and my ears next to it, and I can hear it, but I also can hear it, like, kind of crackling, and then I can see it moving, too. So I take a better look at it, and there are little small bugs crawling out of it.
It was a nice story till then, John. But nice that you heard the larva from upstairs in your room.
I think that's,
with hearing like that, clearly you're the perfect candidate for a game of name that very, 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 very quiet sound. John, did you hear that? We just played back the theme music for the game. That's pretty quiet.
I think I heard it.
Yeah. This is pretty simple. We play you a very quiet sound, but amplified to a reasonable volume for us mortals. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you try to guess what it is. Are you game for this?
Absolutely.
Okay, Joanne?
Sound number one. How lovely. Is that A, the sound of a whippoorwill hopping hither and thither in its nest? B, the sound of a single lonely leaf blowing across a driveway? Or C, the sound of me nervously filing my nails?
C?
Oh, you know Joanne that well, do you? Been listening to her file her nails a lot, have you? Actually, John, I kind of like the whippoorwill answer, but it is indeed the sound of a single leaf. What is the sound of a single leaf blowing across the driveway? That's exactly what that was.
So here's another sound. Is that A, a housefly dying on a windowsill, B, an electrical capacitor shorting out, or C, the mating call of a male fruit fly?
Is it C?
It is indeed. Those annoying fruit flies.
Okay, try this one. It's a little closer to home. Okay, is that A, a submersible pump in a well, B, the fridge, or C, the cooling fan for a computer's hard drive?
Can you repeat choice B again?
Yes, that would be the fridge.
The refrigerator.
The refrigerator?
Indeed, it is.
It is.
It's familiar. Very well done there, John.
Thank you
for playing the game with us, and thank you for your incredible hearing and your incredible singing as
thank
well.
You.
Just loved playing that with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
John Lee, 17-year-old cellist from Basking Ridge, New Jersey. Our next performer, Avery Galliano, is a young pianist who's traveled from our nation's capital to be with us here in Potsdam, New York. And she's our youngest performer of the program. Avery, how old are you?
10.
And tell everyone what you're going to be performing.
Today I'll be performing The Cat and the Mouse by Aaron Copland.
Thank you. Avery Galliano, 10 years old from Washington, D.C., and Aaron Copland's The Cat and the Mouse. Avery, that was really just spectacular. I mean, not only just the ferocious cat claw attacks that were just fearless and as if from across the room, but I think the most important part of a cat and mouse struggle was the hypnosis that the cat, you know, the cat always hypnotizes the mouse.
Thank you.
The mouse doesn't even run away. And I think we were all helpless prey in your grasp.
Thank you.
I've never seen a 10-year-old move so slow or so fast.
Thank you.
Mr. Copland would have been extraordinarily proud. You're so good at such a young age. Did you start asking to play the piano at age of 3, or how did you come to the piano?
No. When I was 4, I was watching TV, and I saw a violinist on TV, and I said, Mommy, I want to play the violin. And my mom said, you have to play piano first. So I started practicing piano, and actually I tried to avoid practicing, and they would actually say, go back and practice your piano. Mm-hmm. So I kept practicing, and then when I turned 8, I started to practice my violin.
So you worked towards the violin. Now, which do you like better? Do you like them both, or what do you like to do?
I like both of them.
Yeah. I think they should stick you with the violin. I don't need the competition, quite frankly. Aside from playing piano so well, and the violin, apparently, you're also unusually mature in other ways. You say this past year in particular, you've learned to be very self-directed. Why is that?
Well, my dad had to take a job in New Jersey, and so we only get to see him over the weekends. So during the week, it's very difficult for my parents, or for my mom, mm-hmm. and my sister and I. And so I've had to be a little bit more responsible and stay on top of all my priorities and to make sure that I can do what I have to do in order to help my mom.
Really. I mean, Avery, after all, you're 10 years old. You should be grown up by now. You act very grown up. And I've met your sister, too. I think she's just, both of you are just fantastic together. I'm happy to say that we're giving you one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. You've totally earned it, and hopefully it'll take just a little pressure off of the family a little bit. Then again, you already know how to relieve pressure. What do you do when you want to relax?
I like watching TV, and I watch I Love Lucy.
So vintage TV, not the new stuff.
Yeah.
Not Jersey Shore, but Lucille Ball.
Yes.
What do you like about Lucy?
She's very funny and creative, and I like how she puts together all the scenes and how she makes everything work. And
gosh, it's
really
incredible
fun.
That you have this appreciation of her genius at your young age. I think that's extraordinary. You do your own skits too, don't you?
Yes.
You and your sister, what do you guys get up to?
Well, during free time, my sister and I, we will make up a skit, and then we like to perform it for my mom and dad, and we add dance and singing. Mm-hmm.
So, 10 years old, what do you think you're going to be doing in 8 years?
I don't know.
The piano or being an actress or being a comedian, or what do you want to do? Do you know yet? I think you've got all things going on. And
I want to do everything.
I think you should do everything. I think you should do everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Avery Galliano, 10 years old from Washington, D.C.
Avery's so impressive for her young age. She's really tiny and such a great player. We made sure to videotape her performance for you. You can see it at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. As part of our regular series, Recognizing Leaders in the Field of Music Education, we want to do a shout-out to a fantastic teacher who's in our Potsdam audience today. For 25 years, this woman has directed the band program for the Potsdam Central High School. She helped found the Potsdam Central School Music Friends, an organization that gives thousands of dollars to kids for instruments, instruction, and scholarships. She began the Potsdam Community Band with members who range in age from 15 to 75. And this year, her work was recognized when she won the 2011 award for Outstanding Band Director given by the New York State Band Directors Association. Please welcome Teresa Whitmer. Teresa, welcome. Here you are, Your Highness, the Queen of Band Directors. But it turns out you never really wanted to be a high school band teacher, and you thought that if you taught at all, it would have to be at a college. Now, here you are, the greatest advocate for teaching music at the high school age. What do you find so great about it, motivating about it?
Well, I really love the kids. Okay, and that doesn't sound so surprising. I think what really surprised me, those 25 or actually 30 years ago, because I was just coming out of a graduate degree studying saxophone performance, and what surprised me is that my high school kids had this incredible talent and artistry in them, and I didn't realize that was going to be there, and they just needed some help bringing it out. And so when I get to work with a student, say, who's really worked to get enough mastery of their instruments so that they can start expressing the music through their instrument, well, that's really a privilege to be part of that moment. And sometimes for them, it's like the first time, and they're sort of realizing, whoa, I just did something really special. And that's really pretty cool to be part of.
Very cool. If you want to learn more about Teresa and her fantastic work, go to fromthetop.org. Teresa, we thought you should introduce our next performer, a kid who's from a great music program herself. Would you do us the honor?
I'd love to. From Davis, California, 18-year-old flutist Margot Fillet is going to play the Cantabile by George Enescu.
Thank you.
Margot Fillet, 18 years old, a flutist from Davis, California, performing Cantabile by George Enesco. Margot, let's go back in time.
I have a place where dreams are born and time is never planned. It's not on any chart. You must find it with your heart.
Never. That's Mary Martin singing the role of Peter Pan. What memory does that evoke?
I grew up listening to tons of musicals, but Peter Pan was definitely the musical that stuck with me. And also, I would, my sister and I would dress up and sing along as Wendy and Peter Pan, and and we also tried to fly by jumping off of our couches.
Probably ruined a couple of sofas that way, I would
yes.
imagine. No long-lasting bruises, though.
No.
You're right, that's always. So it makes sense that you began to move into this world. Swan Lake, of course, so we can guess that you started ballet, I'm guessing. But I love the story of how you learned in ballet class that it was music and not dance that was really the thing for you.
I was 7 and when I started ballet, and during my ballet class when we were preparing for our recital, we were practicing our dance routine, and all of a sudden in the middle of the routine, I stopped because the music was so overwhelming, and I started to tear up, and while everyone was doing pirouettes, I was just kind of in a corner sulking, and the teacher came up to me and asked what was wrong, and I just said the music touched me.
Yeah, so it was a good thing you started flute. That's your teacher, Patricia Farrell, playing flute, who I know plays in the San Francisco Opera Orchestra. She's been a really big part of your life, hasn't she?
Yes, she has. She's such an incredible artist and incredible teacher, and I feel so lucky to have her. She feels like my second mom to me. When I was taking auditions for colleges, she actually flew with me to the colleges for auditions, and she'd give me lessons in the hotel room. And also, usually like twice a month, she'll give me 4 to 5 hour flute lessons.
My gosh.
So that, yeah.
That's real dedication. And
yes.
She's probably inspired you to be sort of more dedicated, more disciplined yourself.
Yes. She's raised 2 children as a single parent, and they've both gone off to fine universities. So I really admire her perseverance and amazing work ethic, and I try to follow her example.
Well, her example of perseverance was good for you this year. I mean, you've had some major challenges in last year. What were you facing?
Right. Both of my parents actually had cancer, and I definitely had an increase in responsibilities. I had to take my sister to her activities and also look after my parents when I got home from school. And I would drive my mom to her doctor's appointments with my newly acquired permit. So that was interesting.
That was the upside.
But I was so thankful to have close family, neighbors, and friends to help during this time, too.
Yeah. And how are your parents doing now?
And my parents are doing quite well. They've fully recovered.
Oh, that's fantastic. With all that was happening, your responsibilities, you were doing major concerts, soloing with orchestras. That is you playing. That's the George Hugh Fantasy with the Sacramento State Orchestra. But that's not the only time you soloed with an orchestra last year. I mean, how many times?
Right. I soloed with three orchestras last year when my parents were sick. And I remember music always filling the house, and I think that really lifted my parents' spirits. And they were able to come to my concerts, and they were very proud of me. And I would go door to door, asking my neighbors if they would like to hear my piece. So I got some good practice in that way too.
Got some good mileage.
Yes.
Good training for the stage.
Yeah.
And it's paid off because there's a with the UNESCO. I mean, my gosh, there's so much lower register stuff. You have to have such a meaty sound and a
yes.
warm sound, and you really, really filled it out, and we really loved
Thank
hearing
you.
It and playing with you. Thanks for being with us, Margo.
Thank you so much.
Margo Fillet, 18 years old, a flutist from Davis, California.
Today's show may be halfway over, but your From the Top experience doesn't have to end here. Go to our YouTube channel to enjoy performance clips, special features, even video scrapbooks created by the kids on each show. Check it out at youtube.com/fromthetop.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org. And from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from Hosmer Concert Hall at the Crane School of Music at SUNY Potsdam in Potsdam, New York. Coming up, Tchaikovsky's Melody, performed by a 14-year-old studying at the Cleveland Institute of Music. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Today's show is made possible by SUNY Potsdam's Crane School of Music with support from the Northern New York Community Foundation and North Country Public Radio. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Next up, a wonderful, aggressive piece of music composed by the great Argentinian composer Alberto Ginastera, and to play it, a very talented teenage string quartet from the Music Institute of Chicago. Quartet Al Dente. Ade Williams, 14, and Claire Bourg, 17-year-old violinists. Caitlin Adamson, our violist, is 16, and Tara Safavi is our cellist. She's 16 years old. This is the first movement, Allegro Rustico, from Ginastera's second string quartet, Opus 26. Thank you.
Thank you.
heard the opening movement of Alberto Ginastera's String Quartet No. 2, played by the teenage members of Quartet Al Dente, Ade Williams, Claire Bourg, Caitlin Adamson, and Tara Safavi. Their coach at the Music Institute of Chicago is Desiree Lustrat. You guys really are al dente. Well done, but not overcooked, right? I think perfectly. And speaking of well done, Ade, you were just awarded first place at the 2012 Sphinx Competition for African American and Latino String Players. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Ade, how old are you?
I'm 14.
14, that's pretty amazing for 14. I said that this Ginastera is aggressive, but Ade, you described this music perfectly. Tell us.
It's like a headbanger. It's like rock.
It is like heavy metal.
Yeah.
Of the string quartet literature.
Yes. Yeah, it's absolutely relentless. It's so percussive.
Yeah. We just think sometimes when we're playing it, when will it end? Because it doesn't.
It never lets up. It really never lets up. It's just, it's very, you know, it's sort of scary, I can imagine, being in the middle of that. Yes. Caitlin, it's really important to be absolutely in sync with each other in this piece because it's so percussive and so rhythmically driven. But your coach tells you not to count?
Yes, she tells us not to count because it's more important for us to find the groove in order to be together instead of counting really fast. And we all might not be on the same page with our counting, but when we find the groove, we can all feel it together.
Well, each gesture has its own sort of shape and groove, as you say, and so that's what we're hearing. I mean, I'm not noticing any lack of synchronicity or any lazy sort of rhythm, but I do notice this really integral sort of graphic and grounded sense of shaping, even in this furioso passage work. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. I have to say, you guys may be, although, you know, reading about you now, I find out that you're the most over-programmed teenagers in America. We'll demonstrate, Ade. Tell everyone what you did on the day you guys recorded your audition DVD for the Fischhoff Chamber Music Competition. I mean, that's an important thing. So what did you start out the morning doing?
Well, the night before, I got like 6 hours of sleep, and I'm a type of person who functions on nothing less than 10 hours of sleep. I'm a big sleeper. So I was already tired when I woke up. And then so I practiced my regular 4 hours. Then right after that, I had a 5-hour acting class, which is very physical. We're bouncing all around and using body language as communication for 5 hours straight. Then right after that, I had a 2-hour soccer practice. Oh, and so at this point, I'm just, you know, like dead tired. And I remember that we had to record for Fischhoff that night, which it ended at like 11 o'clock, and we were doing multiple takes of the Smetana, Shostakovich, which is, huge,
that's
intense pieces,
and
we ended at 11, and then I felt like I was about to faint at the end, but it was all worth it.
Yeah, it was just worst experience for all of us. Like, I know Claire, I mean, it was a great thing, but also it was just an awful day. I mean, Claire had a competition right before the recording. I was already sick. I believe Caitlin was, too. And on top of that, we had to give it our all multiple times, just time after time, playing these energy-draining pieces. And by the end, I think we all just wanted to crash.
We were in front of our coach, too.
Yeah.
So there was no time to mess around or take breaks. She was like, do it again.
Yeah. It's very tiring.
You guys have come up with a couple of pieces of advice for over-programmed teenagers like yourselves. Joanne has made note of them.
Sleep spontaneously.
Claire, you can tell that story.
Yes. Well, it was when Academy Chamber Music started, and for the earliest it starts is 8 a.m. for Tara. She has a cello class, and we're driving from hours away to come to the Music Institute. And so by the time 3:30 comes around for chamber music, which we have for 2 hours, we're all dead tired. And so we decided when we were going to start rehearsing, we would take a 5-minute break because there's a couch in our practice room. And so we decided for 5 minutes we were just going to take a break, and what ended up, we all unanimously fell asleep for the 2 hours. I got no rehearsing done.
So no rehearsing. But
yes.
But that's good. It was probably a bonding experience on a subconscious level. Okay, so sleep spontaneously. What's next, Joanne?
Use every spare moment.
T- Tara, you're the expert on this.
Yes. Well, I find that my most productive time is in the car. And I remember once Claire was driving me to a rehearsal in Winnetka, which is like an hour and a half away. It was dark outside, so I pull out my phone. It has a flashlight on it. And my calculus homework. And get all my homework done in the car with my phone flashlight.
Well, I can't even read in the backseat of a car without getting nauseous. And you're doing calculus.
Yeah, it's an acquired skill.
I guess. Another one, Joanne?
Go ahead, let something slip.
Caitlin?
Well, I think that we're all expected to be amazing students and amazing musicians and participate in sports and theater and chorus and all these extracurriculars to kind of make us better people. But sometimes these expectations are just too high, and you have to sometimes just let an assignment go or not practice as hard as you could, just so that you stay alive.
Well, because you said that you would let like a homework assignment slip because, you know, it's late and you really have to sleep. I mean, if you don't have the right energy to do the assignment correctly, why do it
exactly
incorrectly?
Don't turn in your not your best work.
Bad work, absolutely.
You gotta turn in your best work.
Right. So sleep spontaneously. Use every spare moment, even car rides.
Yes, even
and
car rides.
Don't try to be perfect all the time. Good advice, all of you. And great performance, really great performance.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Quartet Al Dente, 14 to 17 years old, Ade Williams, Claire Bourg, Caitlin Adamson, and Tara Safadi.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Hancock Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Our last performer is also one of those Jack Kent Cook young artists Joanne just mentioned. He's a 14-year-old violinist studying now at the Cleveland Institute of Music, and his name is Jiming Tang. Jiming?
Hi.
Or may I call you Jimmy? You go
yes.
by Jimmy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I call you Jimmy. Now, you also represent here, we have had now 12 generations of Galeanos. We had Avery Galeano, who's 10 years old, and we have a Galeano violin, which is about 300 years old. So, yeah. Where'd you get that violin?
From a Singaporean collector.
Very nice. It's a,
yeah.
it's a wonderful violin. Now, Jimmy, you've had to move from friends twice. The first time
yeah.
was when you were still in China. And
yeah.
What grade? How old were you?
Third grade. When I was in my hometown, I went to Beijing to audition for the Central Conservatory of Music, and I got in, finally.
But you were how far from home at that point?
700 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a third grader. And part of the auditioning and part of the accommodations during the audition process were also rather
yeah.
challenging as well. Where,
mm-hmm.
where were you and, I guess your father was with you at that point, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And where did you stay in Beijing?
We lived in a basement for 2 months before auditioning.
And a basement, you know, sort of broken
yeah.
up with plywood and,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's practicing. And how much room did you have in your little space?
Very small and dark, damp.
Yeah. You had what? Room for a...
For a bed and for a desk and some a little space and that's it.
That's pretty stoic. That's,
and it's
that's
very loud.
Yeah,
it's
constantly.
Not soundproof. Everybody's practicing for the audition.
And so when you were at Central Conservatory, you got to go home, what, once a summer? Or?
Summer and winter.
Uh-huh. And what was that? And so your mom was there. That must have been nice, you know.
Yeah. And
reuniting.
My mom sometimes come to Beijing for about 2 weeks. Yeah.
But, I mean, leaving home again, was it always very difficult, very
yeah.
sad?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I cried many
yeah.
times, yeah.
Then again, you and your dad said goodbye to everyone in order to come to this country.
Mm.
How did you end up at the Cleveland Institute?
One of my classmates at Central Conservatory, who is now in the U.S., helped us to come here, come to the CIM.
And you're studying there with Paul Cantor,
yeah.
who's a wonderful friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But your mom is still in China?
Mm-hmm. Working.
Wow, it must be very lonely. Do you get to speak
yes.
to her at least sometimes?
Yeah, I video chat.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Well, we're very, very happy to have you in this country. And
Thank
Jimmy,
you.
Would you please introduce the piece that we're going to play together?
We will perform Melody by Tchaikovsky.
A great way to end our show today, and I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Jimmy, we will take this from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Binieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with David Forbes and John Servies. Post-production by Tom Bagley. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, supporting Games for Health, using video games to promote health innovations at rwjf.org/pioneer. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fromthetop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.